everyone. Your designers are here. I'm Anita with Cedar Hill Farmhouse.
And I'm Yvonne at Stone Gable.
And I'm Kelly from My Soulful Home.
We've got tips and tricks and decorating advice for you today, so let's get started.
Today is episode number 30, Container Gardens.
I know this.
Spring is here and summer is shortly following. And I know we get excited and get itchy to go out and dig in the dirt. And today we're going to talk about easy ways that you can have beautiful container gardens. Two of us are very excited about this.
No, I'm excited too. This is going to be like a learning experience for me.
Oh, that's true. It's going to be a learning experience. Although, Anita, you probably know a lot more than you're saying.
Well, it's not my specialty, but I do love plants.
I know you do. And your ivy's just thriving.
My ivy, yes.
Mm-hmm. But today we're going to go outside and talk about planting in containers outside. First of all, let's define, for maybe the few that don't know, what is a container garden? How about you, Kelly?
Well, a container garden is usually a smaller garden that you're going to plant in a pot, but mm-hmm. we want you to think beyond the pot and think about different innovative planters that you could use. I have one that I've been preparing since the spring, and I keep adding them. It's going to sound a little weird, you guys, but I have spray painted two large metal garbage cans. Like, they're the real old-fashioned looking ones that are kind of ribbed, mm-hmm. and they have the handles. Okay, and they're like $20 or something. And
Did you find these on a roadside somewhere, or were they
No, these are no.
You and your spray paint.
Me and my spray paint. They are they're new. Okay. I had to peel the labels off using the goo gone.
Well, I feel mm-hmm. a little better that you didn't grab some old yucky ones.
Well, I do like old yucky ones, but I wouldn't mm-hmm. have spray painted those with the patina. No, these are the shiny ones. And so, just jumping right in here to an idea, I saw that. And I thought that could be a great container for a larger tree. So on either side of my doors going out from my kitchen, I spray painted them the matte black that I've talked about and I love. And I was going to put some rope around them to make them less garbage candy looking. sometimes mm-hmm. I tell other people, like not our listeners and not you guys, what I'm doing, and I get the strangest looks.
But how would that be?
I was all excited telling the person at the hardware store what I was going to do. She was like, oh, really? Okay, lady. But then I put two arborvitae trees, and they're large trees,
Kelly,
and they will get big.
That sounds so nice.
They have so much room. I think they can live in there for a while. I did use my big girl drill, and I drilled holes in the bottom for
good
drainage,
for you.
And I put some rocks in the bottom that I just took from my driveway. But you could buy a bag of rocks. And
okay,
then,
Kelly, when mm-hmm. are you going to show this on your blog?
Well, there is one. I'm not ready to show you my whole backyard yet because it's not done. But I do have one picture of them. Maybe I'll do a post about them since we're talking about. But anyway, so I have them flanking either side, and
So is your blog, is it going to be called Garbage Can Potting?
I think it is.
Garbage.
Thanks. I'm going to write that down.
Container garden using a garbage can. There you go.
How about innovative container gardening?
There you go.
That sounds nicer.
Well, let's talk about, but I want people to get in their mind. So you're doing these plantings in some kind of a vessel. Now,
we're doing them in pots,
but you can use garbage cans if you choose.
You could use garbage cans if you so choose, and don't mm-hmm. judge me until you see it.
No, I think it sounds wonderful.
All sorts of things. Like, I actually, it wasn't outside, but inside I used an old sifter that I had found at some yard sale, and I put some succulents in it. So cute.
Oh,
so you
great
really
idea.
Need to think, think out of the box, and especially if you find something that is kind of like, a cast off from someone else, and it doesn't care if you get dirt in it.
I just came back from Round Top, and the succulent idea in the colander, that's so Round Top. That would be so hot there.
Oh, in a colander? That's mm-hmm. so cute, too. But I did mine in a mm-hmm. sifter. But, a colander's
sifter.
So super cute.
Well, that,
cute.
Too. That's what, I mean, the whole thing. It sounds really cool.
Anyway, I didn't mean to, you know, start going again off on some trash tangent.
We're
going to
talk
anyway.
About that later. We're going to talk about innovative containers in just a little while. Let's talk about, okay, you have a container, mm-hmm. and I think before we get to the fun part, you know, there's always that groundwork to do before you get to the fun. Yes. And I'm sort of a fun type of girl. I'd love to jump right to the fun. But in order for it to look nice, we have to do some sort of not maybe as fun things. Some people might think soil is fun. But let's talk about
soil is fun.
Because soil is the foundation. You think it's fun?
I think it's so
fun.
Okay. I mean, it's so fun. I love to smell the dirt, you know, so... But it's so true. It's like anything. Mm-hmm. If you don't lay a good foundation for a house, mm-hmm. or you don't lay a good foundation with your education or what have you, you know, it's hard to thrive. So your plants are going to, you know, they're going to look pretty, but they're real. And so they need nourishment, right?
They're only as good as the soil you put in them.
Absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, that's
so true.
So
do you do those manure balls like Martha Stewart used to do? We should probably still
Excuse
do.
Me?
Oh, we have so many of those here, I can't even tell you.
Well, I think
we can scoop them up on the road. We have all those Amish buggies and things.
Oh my goodness. Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so
well,
what
I don't do
soil
that.
Soil amendments do you use? I'd be very interested to hear.
Okay, I have my three secrets, which mm-hmm. I have posted on my blog,
Ooh,
so I have shared my secrets before, but I want to share my
mm-hmm.
secrets with you guys. So in every container pot that I create, I start out, I have to make sure that there's drainage. Sometimes, because especially if you're using an innovative pot like a trash can or something, it doesn't have drainage. So you want to create mm-hmm. some drainage, whether by making holes or mm-hmm. putting several inches of pebbles on the bottom, so the plants are not, the roots are not sitting mm-hmm. in water if mm-hmm. you're doing your watering properly.
But I still think you need holes, even if you have a lot of pebbles.
I agree.
You can still
mm-hmm.
flood out.
Yeah.
You can drown
yeah.
your roots.
That's true.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So the best practice is to create some sort of drainage holes mm-hmm. and then put a layer of the pebbles. And then you're going to want to put in, you know, you can buy the bagged potting soil, and I think that that's very good. Some of it now has that extra moisture in it. It actually has these little beads mm-hmm. that supposedly mm-hmm. hold the water. I know Miracle-Grow carries that, and there's so many different brands. But a potting soil is meant for a pot, so it has more mm-hmm. nutrients in it than if you were buying soil that you were going to put in the ground.
Because Kelly, can I interrupt mm-hmm. you right here?
Sure.
I do use the kind of soil that has the moisture beads mm-hmm. because our backyard can get pretty windy, and boy, does it dry out our pots.
Oh, yeah. That's so true.
So I need something that has that little added extra moisture in them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the front, I don't need that because we're protected. And
right.
But in the back, if we're having like, you know, several windy days, it really dries out. And it is there's a big difference when I use these Miracle-Grow or a variety of something like that has the nutrients in it, plus mm-hmm. those little moisture
beads. Oh, yeah.
Beads.
That's a good point, because people think, oh, it's not so sunny. But if it is windy, too,
yeah.
that's
yes.
going to definitely dry out your pots. So then what I do in each pot is I mix in my soil, and because you think it's a contained universe, you know, it can't get the roots can't get nutrients from the surrounding soil. It's just what's right there. So you really have to sort of baby it a little bit more
mm-hmm.
than you would something that was in the ground. So I put in my three secrets, which is a banana peel cut up, two cups of coffee grinds, and eggshells smashed up.
Banana peel. I've never mm-hmm. heard the banana peel.
Yeah. So, and you really, ideally, it's all three. But even if you just had a banana, sometimes I'll just, you know, I'll be gardening and I'll just eat a banana for my, you know, snack or whatever. And I just toss it right in there. I don't even cut it up. But because it
wow.
will decompose
okay.
and, you know, plant it deep. So, you know, if you have rodents or things running around, it doesn't smell it.
So
that has never happened to me. But, you know, you want to lay it on the surface. You want to put it inside.
What are these items adding to your soil? Why are you
Excellent
doing
this? Excellent question,
things?
Anita.
And I want to know if you could just run it through the food processor and distribute uh-huh. it through your soil.
Yes, you can do that. What I do is I have the heavy-duty Ziploc bags, and it totally grosses my girls out because there's a bottom drawer in my fridge. And I do keep it sort of separate, but I have, you know, if we have eggs and I crush up and I wash the shells and then I mm-hmm. crush them up and I put them in, and then after the coffee, at my husband's coffee, the coffee grinds go in there. And then if we're having bananas, I cut them up and I put them in there and I kind of let it all meld together a little bit until I'm going to do a container pot. So then when I'm ready, I just grab my Ziploc and off I go. And you can just do it on the go. You could put the coffee right from your coffee, coffee grinds right in there. But I have having these individual bags prepped as I'm doing my containers. So to answer your question,
what are the nutrients?
Yes. So answer your question is the banana is going to give it phosphorus and potassium, which really encourages flower budding.
Mm-hmm.
And then the coffee grinds provides nutrient and some tannic acids, which is not. Did I say nutrient? Nitrogen, which is very nutritious. So that's a combined word, nutriogen.
Nitrogen, what was the second?
That's the combo. And then the eggshells have the calcium, and particularly tomatoes love extra calcium.
Do they really?
Yeah, and another thing you could do with the eggshells, if you're comfortable with doing this, you can sprinkle some on the top layer of the soil if you're having a slug or snail problem, because it's like dragging your naked body over shards of glass for a little snail or a slug to try to get to the plant.
Those delicious little things.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it really deters them. You know, it's like one of those home remedies, like the beer and all
Kelly,
of that.
I love that idea. I'm actually going to do that. I'm writing this down as we're talking.
Well, it'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, and believe me, I'll get to those show notes. Hey, those show notes don't come in only in handy for people that are listening. You are listeners. They come in real handy for me as well.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Mm-hmm. So what was the second thing? I missed on the coffee grounds. You said nitrogen, but the second thing, I didn't hear what that was.
Oh, I'm sorry, because I combined the word.
Yeah, you switched gears.
It's tannic acids.
But tannic?
Tannic, T-A-N-N.
Tannic acid, okay.
I see, yeah, some tannic acid.
But it really should be botanic acid because it helps the botanicals.
Yeah, it should be nitrogen and botanic acid.
There you go.
But the nitrogen encourages leaf growth. So they're doing all these really good things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we have the soil. Let's talk about that. This is the fun part, what we put in our containers. Mm. Kelly, you start again.
Oh my gosh, Yvonne, why don't you jump in? We know this one.
Well, I like to put containers all around my porch. And around my back patio. So I have a lot of containers. And we know that Thriller, Spiller, and Kelly.
Filler.
Yes. And if you remember those three words, it will help you put together a container garden that looks balanced and is really attractive. So, Kelly, tell us some of the things that you use. I'm excited to hear what you use.
Oh, yeah. Well, can I just step in before she...
Yes, of
course,
Anita.
I just wanted to make a point of that... You know, each region of the country does have a different, moisture levels, temperatures. So things that do well in Kelly's environment may not do well in other parts of the country. So I really think that's a consideration as well, because I know some of your, like the peonies up where you live, Yvonne, don't do well in Texas. So
I know. Right. Good point. That's
so
a
you
really
might point
good
out
point, Anita.
If these plants that you're talking about are going to work everywhere or just kind of in your climate.
Yes, and it's an excellent point, and you should think about not only that, but also plants, combinations of plants that are happy together, that they need the same amount of water and the same amount of sun or shade. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so in their own little universe that they're happy together. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing about container plants, which is such a really wonderful aspect of them. You have to be a lot more concerned about planting in the ground taking into consideration your climate. When you're planting in container plants, probably 8 out of 10 things that you'd put in a container plant are going to be annuals anyway.
That's true.
They're going to be friends like for a season, literally. And so you don't really have to worry that much about it. And, you know, I would be more concerned about how much sun they're getting and how much water they're getting than whether or not they're going to thrive, you know, into the next season in
your
area.
This is a little bit of a detour, but I planted in a big pot. I had straw flowers yellow ones. They were so pretty, but they don't need to be watered as much as the other things in my pot. So they ended up getting, I mean, very slimy. I had to take them out. I mean, it's fun to experiment, and then I replace them with something else.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes what I like to do, and I actually have a few clients that I do this for, I put a foundation, if it's a big, big pot, and I'll put a foundational perennial or even a shrub if the pot is big enough. And so that always stays, and then my filler and my spiller change out, whether it's for the season or they just, you know, like right now I have pansies and violas. Actually, I went and checked on them this morning at one of my clients' houses, and they're doing fine now, but in a week or two it's going to get too hot for them here. They're more cold weather, so then, we'll be switching
the
them out.
Can just kill some things,
right? But her center plants, I have very big New Zealand flax in her planters, and that will stay. That will stay all year round until, you know, she just decides aesthetically she wants something else.
Well, can you give us some summer combinations that would be pretty to put in pots?
Yeah, sure. I have actually a couple of ideas myself that I like to use, but I spoke to some of the ladies in my garden club, and I think I mentioned this before. Anybody's welcome to join the Be a Better Gardener Club that I have on Facebook. It's such a nice group of ladies. I think you would enjoy it if you enjoy gardening.
And so just put that in the show notes. I just see a spike in membership going up.
Come on over. We have so much fun. So I asked a couple of ladies there, and one plant I have been wanting to try as a hanging plant off my porch, and that is from my friend Sandy Stanowski, and Sandy likes to use Calibrio Cocha, which is, it looks like mini petunias. They're darling. They're also known as million bells.
Now I know what they are.
Right. And that's, I actually had to check how to pronounce it correctly. And it blooms all summer long. It can be a fantastic spiller in the garden or in a larger container. It gets to be about 6 inches to 12 inches tall. So I might suggest putting that with either a New Zealand flax, which is a really strappy vertical plant, or a dracaena, which is very similar, and then whatever color of the million bells that you enjoy, they put those in, and then maybe put in a few other upright plants tucked in between. I like to do in a pot, if it's a sort of a maybe 12 inch pot, I like to work in threes, so three and then in between, so three spillers and then three fillers and then something tall in the middle.
Oh wow,
that's just an easy formula.
So, and Kelly, then Kelly and Yvonne, what do you do about watering? Do you just manually water, or do you have any kind of self-watering?
I manually water, because as I go out, and see, this is just another thing we need to talk about, as I go out to water, you also need to deadhead. If you're not deadheading those pots, you're just not going to keep those beautiful blooms coming. And what you want is, that's what you want, the blooms. Fussing and making sure that, you know, the leaves are looking good and deadheading as I go, usually early in the morning or later in the evening.
I so agree. And I could go on and on with different planter combinations. I have a Pinterest board that I can put in the show notes. It is just container gardens, and it's there are several people that I had invited to that board, so you'll get ideas from a lot of different gardeners there. So if you're interested in coming up with a different combination. And how about a really simple combination? Donna has suggested, she's also in the Better Gardener group, just simple Boston ferns if you have a shady spot. She says she's so busy, and then she doesn't have time to, you know, to take care of specialized container pots, and they always look good.
I would say
boxwoods too, you know, just put some boxwoods. And even if you did a boxwood and then you did some variegated ivy, you know, everyone knows variegated is, you know, when it's the white or the cream mixed with the green, and let that drip out of it.
I like Donna.
So pretty.
She doesn't have time to water either.
I love Donna.
Well, you know, I think of Boston ferns also as wonderful hanging plants, and I think that's a very Southern look. It's beautiful.
It is, and it's a very Victorian look.
Yeah, it's way too sunny where we are. Mm-hmm. Even around our porch, we get sun, and I mean, they would burn out. But if you have a shady area, that's the place to put them.
And I have another combination that's a real spring combination. And this is from Darcy, again, from the gardening group. She says, and this is full-on spring, tulips, and that, I know that's her favorite flower, muscari, which is also grape hyacinth. It has those two names, violas, and pansies.
Mm-hmm. And how pretty.
Right. So the tulips are tall. The muscari is kind of mid-range. And then it's just a blanket of violas and pansies. And well, that is just stunning.
That sounds just beautiful. And it does sound like quintessential spring to
me. Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to share what I do. I have big pots in the back, and I keep them on a base that can be wheeled around.
That's serious. Yeah.
Well, but it's really
time
nice
to move the hydrangeas. Come on, Bobby.
It's really nice when you're entertaining, because we have a big table, and we have some bistro tables that we can put out depending on how many people come. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice to put like a big pot next to a table. And remember, I forget what we were talking about in a previous podcast, that I have torches.
That was in outdoor decorating.
Outdoor decorating. That we sunk in concrete in a bucket, so there's just got like a very heavy bottom, and we put them in the center of our big pots, and then what I love to put around them is not perennial salvia, but annual salvia. They're real tall. Now that's my one of my thrillers, because it's just is very tall and spiky. But we have hummingbirds, and they are wild over them. And so my whole all day long, all these hummingbirds are coming and visiting these big pots with these big red and purple salvia in them.
Oh, that is such a treat. Every time I see a hummingbird, I just I catch my breath. That is such a blessing.
Well, we used to put out hummingbird syrup, but they don't like that. That just attracts ants at this point.
I agree. I think that I tried that too. And my mom had given me the cutest little feeder, and I hung it in my tree. And no, they didn't pay any attention to it, but they wanted the real deal. So
they want
in the
real deal. So that's definitely something that attracts. And then I have, you know, my fillers, and we're really, really big into geraniums around here, and they thrive very well. So we'll do that. And I love lantana. So I'm not going to give you the Latin names. But I'm crazy about lantana, and then anything that spills over. The only thing I'm not a huge fan of, but I do use them, is petunias. I use them with a very restricted hand, but there's a flower, and it's purple, and it's called a fairy. Let me think about this. A fairy.
Oh, I'd be interested in this, because I love the purple and blue, the plumbagos.
Oh,
and the salvias.
I know.
And
they're called fairy fan flowers.
Ooh. Oh,
they are exquisite, and they're purple. And here's another thing I do. I have like a theme. Like when my son enlisted in the military, it was red, white, and blue. And I have another theme called like snowfall, and I do everything sort of in whites. Or I had one year it was called profusion, where it's just like a cacophony of color.
So I have
a lot of fun doing that. So name it. This year I think I'm going to do cacophony again, just because I love those vibrant colors. We could talk forever about what to put in a pot, which is, I mean, to me, that's the fun part. Right. But we have lots of links we'll put a lot of links to a lot of our pots. I always do what I call the anatomy of a flower pot when I do it. Let's talk about containers.
Yeah.
Well, what else I started, do you use besides garbage cans?
Yeah, that's so funny. I'm like, who was that from Sesame Street? Oscar the Grouch or something coming out of the garbage can? Yeah, that's what everybody's going to picture when they think of me gardening. Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, I've used that. I've used definitely galvanized old, like Anita said, the roadside galvanized things. In fact, I have a post about, you know, rescuing this little pail that I found somewhere and then taking it home, and I made a beautiful container garden out of it, and it was just, you know, kind of a funny little story about that. But I've gone on with spray painting these cans. So then I got the ash can size, and now I have threesome, which really love. So I have the tall one, and then the medium sized one, and then the smaller, and I think that's what they call them at the hardware store, ash cans. So people do use them sometimes for fireplace ashes or dog food. And it's kind of in the back of the gardening area.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Kind of where they have the trellises and things like that. That's where you can find them.
You're spray painting it, right?
Yeah, so I spray painted them at all the matte black. And so I have a large arborvitae tree in one. And then I'm doing boxwood and variegated ivies in the other one. And I'm going to probably put a rosemary and some bacopa, which is a great spiller. That is small white flowers, prolific bloomer throughout the season, likes the sun, and is pretty drought tolerant. But, you know, in a pot, you know,
you have to water them.
You have to water it. It's a contained universe. Mm-hmm. So, but bacopa is a really great spiller.
I've actually seen that in my garden center.
Have you? Yeah, and it's good in rock gardens too, because it kind of creeps along.
Yeah, real tiny little flowers. Yeah.
And I like to do, you say, you know, different kinds of containers, and even a grouping of three different kind of containers, maybe a tall, medium, and a small, and they can be the same style, or in my case, it's different styles. And I have that right by the front door right now. In the tall urn, I have a mini ficus tree, so it's just alone, a ficus tree with some Spanish moss.
So pretty, and this is in your garbage can.
This is no. The arborvitaes are in the giant garbage can.
Oh, okay.
The front door, I don't have the garbage can.
You have to
come to the back, and you know me a little bit better to see my garbage cans. But I'll share with you guys. I told everybody now. I'm outed. I've outed myself. Okay. No, in the front, I have an old urn that I got years and years ago, and that has the mini ficus in it with just some Spanish moss. So really simple, easy. Just plopped it in, put in my three secrets, and you're good to go. Then the medium-sized one, I have black mondo grass, which I think is super cool, and white impatiens and variegated ivy.
Sounds so pretty.
It does. And this is a shaded area because it's on my covered porch. Then the smaller, sort of wider, squatter of the containers, I just did all white impatiens. So just how I carried the look through, and everybody's got the Spanish moss around them. So creating the containers were pretty easy, and then the thriller, spiller, and filler kind of are, you know, interspersed. They're not all in one. They're in each of the three. So I like the idea of a grouping, kind of like the way we group vignettes, you know, on a coffee table. Yeah. I like to group pots.
You made a vignette with your containers. There
I
you
did.
Go. I used, do you remember when they're called those porcelain fish bowls? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, they just kind of round pots.
Yeah, yes, and they're porcelain, and
but like
they
bowl,
have like like an oriental looking stand they stand on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have them like from 20 years ago in my basement, and I thought,
I really want to get in your basement. I really like the meme of going, people want to go to Disneyland. To your basement.
Yeah, you may get lost. Bob always says, Yvonne, let's just have, you know, I said, let's have a, you know, a garage sale. I said, oh, Bobby, this is way too much work for me, you know, with working, you know, with the blog and everything, I don't have time. And he said, but, you know, we'll just open the Bilco doors and give everybody whatever you can put in a bag, $10.
Well, can you give me some heads up? Because it's going to take me a day or so to get.
It might be worth the plane ticket, actually.
I think it would.
But anyway, I found these blue and white. I love blue and white, and they were these big blue and white fish bowls, and I thought, I might use them on my front porch. So I had a blue and white rug, and I have black rockers and a black table, and I put these fish bowls. I used, I guess they were 5 gallon you know, containers, planting containers that have holes in them, and I filled the whole thing up with red and hot pink geraniums.
Oh, beautiful.
With this bright blue and white fishbowl. And I had them on either side of my porch. So I'm really into like finding things in my basement, like, oh, this would work. You know, this. The fishbowl looked really nice. And I think I might resurrect that again this coming summer. Mm-hmm. And also, I've used chicken feeders.
Oh, yeah.
They're long and they're galvanized and they almost have like a wire bridge from one side to the other over it. And little tiny flowers like Alyssum and things like that look so beautiful in that.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. What other fun containers do you have?
Well, you know what I'm thinking about doing and is starting some raised beds, but that's a whole different podcast.
You talk to me, girl. I have them and love them.
Yeah, we're going to have to. I'm going to learn more about those and get those going, and then we can talk about those.
You know, let's do an outdoor vegetable garden.
Oh, that's
that would
a great
be
idea.
A podcast. I mean, not everybody. That's not everybody's cup of tea, but it's really interesting. I've had raised beds for, oh goodness, like over 25 years.
Oh, well, and the other thing I was going to say is there's some gorgeous pots out there in the gardening centers, and I got one that's, is it the Kew Gardens? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, well, Kew Gardens is a famous garden in England, and I think they're probably named after that, K-E-W, right?
So I got, they were very expensive pots, but they're just beautiful, so I had to buy one, so.
Well, an interesting container, which you asked, and I don't think of it as a container necessarily, but I guess it is. I have a really beautiful fountain that I bought at a closeout sale at a garden nursery. And I had it working as a proper fountain at our previous house for a short time. And then the little pump broke. And I must have gone back to a different garden center and gotten a new pump like 3 or 4 times. There wasn't enough room, there wasn't enough water, and then the pump would maybe, I guess, dry out. It just didn't work. It
and
kept breaking
clog
or clogging
too.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I was done with it, but I loved the look of the fountain.
Oh, great!
So
idea.
I planted it with succulents, and
idea.
You know, because there's not a lot of room to put dirt, because there wasn't a lot of room to put the water. And I would say it's a tall pot. No, it's a fountain.
But I mean, my fountain is a big, tall, it looks like a big, tall jug.
No, my fountain is like a proper looking fountain, a tiny version of the Trevi fountain.
Okay,
you know,
got
it's got
it.
the mount, and you know, it's not, it's not like, you know, Bellagio water or anything. It's small. Like, it's probably the diameter of a...
We can only wish.
Right. It's probably the diameter of a bistro table, say. Mm-hmm. And then it has the center part, right? And then the center part
like
has
a nice size.
Yeah, and then the center part has a little bit where you could put, where the water would trickle down. So what I did was, because it's not, maybe it's 6 inches, 8 inches deep top, so I would have to be out there watering whatever I put in there for forever, and there's no drainage or anything. So I said, succulents, that's the way to go. So I put some pebbles in the bottom. I got the special cactus succulent mix instead of a regular potting soil, and I planted it with succulents. And I for sure have a blog post on my blog about doing that. And it lasts forever. You know, I actually took the little succulents out, and I brought them here with me. And now I have it planted with something else for the spring, but I'm going to go back to succulents as soon as it warms up, because now it sits in my garden. It gets a little water with the sprinklers, but I do go out and water it now because it doesn't have succulents in it. But honestly, when it has succulents in it, you don't have to really do anything.
Well, can I give you one more? I know our time is running very short.
Yeah.
But don't discount just beautiful terracotta pots.
Oh, yeah.
And they paint up so nicely.
Well, that's true. I just painted some with like a white and a white paint and a gray glaze on top.
Oh, how nice.
I know. They're just beautiful. And this year I saw this in Savannah, and I just love the gardens of Savannah. And I did it maybe, a decade ago, where I have a few flagstone steps, slate steps, really, going up to my porch. And I saw that they had put terracotta pots with geraniums, like, going up the sides. Just, they were beautiful. But I thought, I'm going to paint these pots white and fill them with, I'm not quite sure what yet, and just, like, have my stairs flagged with all these flowers.
Oh, how beautiful.
Sounds up. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I could keep talking about this for forever, and I know
we'll have to do a part two.
Let's do a part two,
seriously.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that
would be
great.
So fun. And if you out there, we would love to hear your ideas about container combinations. And so if you want to call us or email us and let us know what you like to put in your pots, that would be great. And we could talk about that in part two. So thanks so much for being with us today. We want you to remember that we're here to help you create a beautiful home and beautiful container gardens. Until next time.
Hey there. If you're loving our podcast like we're loving our podcast, we would love you to rate and review us. Head to iTunes to do that. It's easy and it would mean so much to us. And if you do rate and review us, we're going to enter you to win a fantastic giveaway. The details for the giveaway are in the show notes for this episode, and you can find the show notes at decoratingtipsandtricks.com.